The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
You're listening to Pure Rock Radio. Feed your addiction. Yeah!
This episode is brought to you by the Bleeding Old Blood Club with this important message. The Bleeding Old Blood Club believes life doesn't end at 40. Live life. Take that trip. Learn that skill. Get in the pit. Learn to skate or get back on your skateboard. Shred it up once again. Check us out on Facebook, the Bleeding Old Blood Club. You can teach an old dog new tricks.
Hello, everybody. This is Max Cavalera, Soulfly. You're listening to Radioactive Metal. And remember, stay metal.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a maximum rock and roll episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode, I like this number, 595. And I'm Snowy White.
And this is Aaron. And dear listeners, right now, you should take a moment to go to trvekvltcoffee.com. That's True Cult Coffee. Subscribe today because you can get some free music and never run out of coffee. Because if you're going to listen to, I think, Snowy, aren't we the longest running metal podcast in podcasts? I feel like we are. I feel like, and if not, I feel like we're close.
We're in the top five.
Yeah.
Like we're in the top five. Yeah, we're in the top five metal podcasts to start, and definitely in the top five that are still around.
Yeah, so we're like the OGs, and
we are
hard and heavy. So if you're going to listen to the heaviest podcast you can get your hands on, you need the blackest coffee you can drink. And that is True Cult Coffee from the good friends at True Cult Coffee, made by metalheads for metalheads. That's why we support them and why they support us. So, trvekvltcoffee.com. Follow them on Instagram, trve.kvlt.coffee. And it's a great way to see all sorts of fun stuff. Plus, Mr. You know what I was thinking, Snowy? I think we have to have Coffee Bean Occulta back on and about the all the new ventures he's been doing. So, have you seen like the pins and the candles?
He's a busy man. He's doing everything.
Well, he's a crazy busy man, right? So he's been making like the candles, because I think I'd sent you pictures of candles one time that I saw at the local record store here, where I had like St. Lemmy and that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I keep busting his balls because he made a Peter Steele pin where Peter Steele was like kind of shirtless, but just the way he was turned and the way his hair was, and it was a green silhouette. Like, literally, I'm not kidding when I say this, but I saw it. I totally thought it was Lily Munster.
right.
And so, and I comment on that. So now every time he puts up Peter Steele, like, I think it's Lily Munster. And you know, and like I tag him on it. So he has this Peter Steele candle, and you've got to love this because he's like Peter Steele, the patron saint of slow, deep, and hard.
Wow.
He's doing a lot of great things, dear listeners. So head out there, follow him on Instagram, see all the great stuff that's coming out. I got some kick-ass pins from him. I got a great Lemmy pin, which will be being debuted at some point. I feel like I've already put it on Instagram, but I've got plans. So that's what's going on. So Snowman, what's happening with you, man?
Well, myself, to kind of start everything off, since we were talking about True Cavalt Coffee, I kind of got into a conversation with Mrs. Snowy about the whole, okay, why is it spelled T-R-V-E and K-V-L-T? Because I'm trying to, you know, explain, like, in normie terms, you know, what true and cavalt, you know, it's spelled with a V to make it true, but it's not the way it's spelled and all that. I'm like, I know, you just got to go with it.
I always thought that it was a throwback to like the ancient Roman spellings, because, you know, like if you look at some like the ancient Roman stuff.
Oh yeah, there's definitely some history. There's some historic reasons to it, but for modern times, it's bitching.
Well, it's just fun.
Yeah,
you and just it fucks with everybody's heads.
That's right. And I got a fresh cup of True Cavalt coffee right here in my AC/DC Highway to Hell mug, which I'm getting pretty wired on because it's been a pretty cool day for a number of reasons. First and foremost, today, woo, is Ric Flair's birthday.
I am so glad you brought that up, because one of my buddies posted it on Instagram, and he had this whole little video montage, and it opens up with Ric Flair in a suit, stripping down to his boxers and just dancing all over the ring and going crazy. And I'm like, I love this. Like, this
I
is
remember
so
that
terrible.
Angle, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, for sure. And another really cool thing is I want to take a moment out to announce that Winnipeg Death Metalers Votov earlier this week announced signing on to CDN Records. Now, you'll recall, Aaron, this past summer, we caught up with the head honcho from CDN at the Quebec Death Fest. We had a nice chat with him. We had him on. Really cool stuff and all that. So when our good buddies at Votov announced they signed on with them, it's like, okay, we have to do something kind of special because, you know, Chuck Labossiere and John Duke, members of Votov, the original members, we go back 30 years, Mrs. Snowy and I, with these guys.
Wow,
Yeah. When we were all just barely out of our teens, you know, late teens, they were in a band called Immortal Possession.
Oh, dude.
And those guys, Immortal Possession, were my very first interview in any way, shape, or form for a little tiny black and white stapled on the sides fanzine I did way back in the day. There's a little rock and roll history for you there. So when Votov announced that they were signing, they gave they put out their own little video of them signing the contract right then and there. And I thought, wow, so cool. This is really cool. We definitely have to announce it. Hey, wait a minute. Let's do one better, I thought, before we get into our metal fix. I thought, well, you know, why don't we share this historic moment in Canadian death metal history and share this the audio of this video. So without further ado, before we get on with the grunt here, here is our good buddies in Votov signing on with CDN Records.
Hey Votov fans, check this out. We have a contract here from CDN Records. They're a label out of Canada. Fucking brutal, heavy death metal shit. So, we're going to release our next album on this label. So, keep your eye out for that. We're going to sign this contract right now.
It's a manufacturing distribution deal. Artist on CDN Records.
Check it out.
Been very busy this week. Here's our metal fix.
Good stuff. That is Winnipeg Death Metalers, the recently signed Winnipeg Death Metalers, Votov with Organic Incarceration from their self-titled indie release. Congratulations, guys, and all the best. And I said to them, and it's been a long time coming, we should have had Votov on, you know, for a side stage interview at some point or whatever. It just never happened. And I said, but when the album drops, okay, never mind a side stage interview. Let's make you guys a creature feature. That definitely be down with that. Before we get on with our metal fix, we do want to give all of our love and good thoughts out to our co-hostess Sky. She's having some family issues. Everyone's okay. Okay, but she's just kind of having some family issues right now that kind of prevented her from coming on and giving the 110% that she always gives on the show. So love and thoughts and prayers to you, my dear, and we will get you on ASAP. But she definitely wouldn't want us to dwell on it too long. So, dude, what you got?
Well, this past weekend was the Comics Expo here in South Carolina.
Oh, yes. I want to hear all about it.
Dude, so we've got a couple comic book stores here, but there's one that's just kick-ass called Captain's Comics. Like, they're a blast at Free Comic Book Day. Nicholas and I will go down there pretty regularly because he likes to look for new Lego minifigures. And, you know, they've got good toys and collectibles along with the comics and stuff like that. So we'll go down and check that out. And I took him for the first time last year, and last year we were maybe there like in an hour, maybe two, and he didn't, you know, he enjoyed it, but it didn't seem to like click, or he was really overwhelmed. This year, dude, he was so excited, right? So we walk in, he is literally, I'm not making this up, cheering, pumping his fist in the air. He's like, this is the best. He's looking around at all the people in Star Wars cosplay. So, and I wish I would have picked up more of the pamphlets because I think it's like some sort of branch of the 501st Legion, you know, like the Stormtrooper cosplayers.
Okay.
And, dude, like they had backdrops that looked like real movie sets. All the droids they had were like movie quality props. R2-D2 was so spot on. It was amazing. There's a guy dressed as Bosk.
Which is, I that's fucking, right? Yeah, it's fantastic.
I've never seen that in all the different cons I've been to. I've never seen anybody dressed as Bosk, and he's one of my favorite, you know, bounty hunters. And so Nicholas freaked out because there's a woman there dressed as Asajj Ventress from the Clone Wars animated series.
Right.
Which I had no idea about this character, and I don't know how he discovered it, but he saw her. He's freaking out. Dad, I need my picture taken with her. So, you know, we did that. And then they also had baby, like, well, the child from The Mandalorian.
Right.
Right? And they had two of them. One was dressed in a black Sith robe, so they were
calling him an evil baby Yoda. Oh, blasphemy!
Yeah, it was a blast. They were having fun. But, you know, Nicholas wanted to have his picture taken with him. Like, hey, would you guys mind if he held it? He's like, well, it's $400. So I was expecting like a hard no after that. And it's like, so he just has to be really careful. I'm like, my goodness, you guys are brave.
Yeah. You know,
I'm like, geez. I'm like, Nicholas, don't drop that. No, don't drop
yes,
it.
Yes. Whatever you do. But yeah, if you want to eat this week, don't drop that.
Yeah. And everything was like film quality props. Like it kicked ass. And so they had people selling vinyl. Like I was surprised how many people were selling vinyl at the show. Like, I mean, it wasn't a lot of vendors, maybe three. I mean, one of them was our local record store, Monster Music. But there were a couple of different booths that had vinyl. We found all kinds of fun toys. They were great, like, just classic comics. But I picked up at the show. Oh, goodness. I literally had it right in front of me. Electric Frankenstein. It's the
sweet
20th anniversary of the album How to Make a Monster. Well, that's exactly it, dude. Like the artwork alone got my attention. And then when I flip it over and I see the image on the back, if you know which one I'm talking about, I'll post pictures when this episode comes out. But there's a full size poster of that back cover image.
Okay.
Inside there. And so I picked that up. And then they also happen to have the 598 EP Garage Days Revisited on vinyl.
Right on.
And it's like orange, clear vinyl. Dude, I put that on, and it just sounds so flipping good. So good. So I've been listening to that.
Very nice.
And then, I still need to pop on Electric Frankenstein. I haven't had a chance to listen to that one yet. And then that got me looking for other records. And so I could have sworn, like I was talking to a buddy about this tonight, I could have sworn I owned Killing Is My Business and Business Is Good on vinyl. Mm-hmm. I can picture it in my head in my room as a kid, and I didn't lend out my record, so I don't know what would have happened to it. That's the only record that I remember having that I can't find.
Oh.
It's ticking me off, because the reason that, you know, that one's always on my mind is because you can't get a version of These Boots Are Made for Walking without the beeps anymore, right? Like, that's the only way to get it. It's like on the really, really old versions of it.
Yeah, the original, which I got, yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm like, son of a gun, because I was going to, like, hook it up and try to, like, record it from the record to my computer and then clean it up so I finally had a digital version of it. Because, like, I hate the version where it's bleeped out. And I know he did one where he recut the vocals, but it's like, for goodness sakes, guys, it's, like, 30 years plus past. Get over it. Like, because, I mean, whoever wrote it made them pull it off the record for a while. Then they agreed to let him beep it, you know, because they didn't like that he added swear words to it. But I've got news for them. The reason I listen to and like the original Nancy Sinatra version is because of Megadeth.
I never would have put it on myself if it wasn't for that.
Yeah.
You get the curiosity and all that, you know, so.
Exactly. Exactly, mm-hmm. Man. Exactly. So that album's also on my list for another reason, which I'm going to get to here. I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, okay, is that everything for the stuff of the show? Yeah, so, dude, the Star Wars stuff was amazing. But then, remember, I think it was last week, I was talking about Dean Del Rey of the Let There Be Talk podcast, and he's a mm-hmm. comedian, is putting yep. on the Bon Scott tribute show, right?
Right.
Well, I have decided I am going to go to that show. I have booked booked my flight, got a room, got my ticket, and I am going to attend that show on March 10th.
Wow, you go, boy.
Dude, I'm excited. I couldn't tell you the last time that I have done a trip like this just for myself to get away. It's going to be super quick. So, I mean, I'm going to fly in Monday, fly back out Wednesday morning early so I can get home and all that sort of stuff. But while I'm in L.A., I'm already mapping this stuff out. I'm planning on visiting the Whiskey, the Rainbow, right? Have to go there. And get this, dude. My hotel is near the Capitol Records building.
Oh, wow. Like, excellent.
I'm like a quarter mile from it. And then also I'm near the Pantages Theater. But then I'm also about a mile walk from Amoeba Records.
Oh,
and, yeah. Okay. Right. And so they've got great vinyl. And as it turns out, a buddy of mine who is traveling, he's like, dude, he's like, I have an 8-hour layover in LAX. I'm stuck. I want to try and get out. What can I do? And I'm like, dude, give me 5 minutes. And I literally made up an itinerary. I'm like, okay, I pulled up a map. I'm like, you're going to go here, 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 and here. These ones you can walk to, you take an Uber here. And so I sent him to like the Whiskey and the Rainbow, and like, and he's a rock and roll guy. Like, he was in radio, but he's not necessarily a metal guy, but I was still shocked he never heard of the Rainbow. I'm like, you don't know the Rainbow? How do you not know the Rainbow?
How is that possible?
Well, exactly. So I sent him there, and he's like, dude, he's like, this was rock and roll history. I'm like, I know, right? And then he went to Amoeba because I had heard Rollins talk about Amoeba. I'm like, you know what? No, go here. If Rollins is going here, it's going to be pretty sweet. Mm. He's like, dude, he's like, if you go to this place, you're going to lose your mind. Because their level of organization goes beyond just, hey, here's the genre, here's the band name. They're like, this is this master version. This is this version. They really, really get intricate on the details.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited. So now, especially that I know that I don't have the album that I thought I have, I'm going to see if I can find an original copy somewhere. So that I will be on the hunt for that while I'm out there.
Yeah, you know, as you're telling me this, I'm thinking, dude, you know what we have to do? Just, you know, how we had The Quebec Death post game show and the Maryland Death Fest post game show and all that. We have to sit down, just press record, and just for a special episode, just you telling us everything that you do in LA that you did. You know, I think we need to do that.
We could totally do that.
Right.
We can totally do that. The thing is, like, that week, the show's on a Tuesday, so we'll need to figure out when we want to record. But I also will be 2 hours behind you, I think.
Yeah.
1 hour behind you. 2 hours.
Two hours.
Yeah.
Up here in Canadian time.
Yeah, exactly. Canadian time. Yeah. Because I figured that's what the CDN record label stands for, Canadian, right?
That's right. You know what? I don't think so. I think it means for something else, but it's kind of a happy accident. But you got me thinking. I'm going to have to check that out. I knew it until we started talking.
It'd be hysterical if it was, because I was just totally making that up to bust your balls. You know.
For sure. Yeah,
so that's everything I have planned. And then I got some other stuff I can't wait to talk about here in a couple of weeks. But like when I'm going to be there, this would be one of those times where I really, I'm going to think about live streaming, but I just want to be there for the show, because Dean gets such a who's who, man. Mm-hmm. Scott Ian was on the bill to play, but then it looks like he got pulled off. But I mean, I think anything can happen last minute, because I mean, you know, these guys, like, they're all going in and out with whatever gigs are going on. But as of now, Dave Lombardo is supposed to be there to play drums.
Wow.
Juliette Lewis is going to be there. She's going to come out and sing with Dean. Yeah. Yeah, like it just keeps getting better and better, man. So,
right on.
Yeah, I'm super excited. And again, it's like a 5-minute walk from where I'm staying, you know, so I'll be able to walk to and from the venue. Yeah.
Right on. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I can't wait to talk about it, because I think I'm going to be on overload afterwards. But yeah. Yeah. So what's going on with you, man? What's your mouth fix this week?
Well, myself, coming up in April, of course, is the Manitoba Metal Fest. And it's going to be one hell of an event. And leading up to that, you know, Ninja Cat Productions, we always put on a couple of fundraiser events where some local bands donate their time and, you know, a night to, you know, put on a couple sets, and, you know, everyone pays $10 to get in, and all the money raised for these fundraisers all goes towards paying off the Manitoba Metal Fest. This past weekend, we had one of them with a kind of a little different slant to it, because it was kind of tribute night. Okay, now normally, for the record, honestly, I don't dig tributes. Okay, but I understand they're a big draw, you know, and if you're doing it for a fundraiser, I'll let it slide, you know. That's fine. I get it. Let's do it. Let's just have a good time. And to be honest, while I kind of go into a tribute show, you know, with a stick up my ass, the more liquor and beer I have, you know, the more that stick kind of gets loosened, shall we say.
If it's a good tribute band, like, I can get into it.
It's just the idea. Like, just tributes in general, I feel it takes away stage time, fan attention, and, you know, from real bands. I think what it is I'm still smarting from, and this was a long time ago, when tribute bands in Toronto were ruling the scene. Now, I wasn't living in Toronto at the time, but what happens in Toronto affects the country at times, and tributes were just killing the metal scene in Toronto.
Really?
At the time. Yeah, it was really bad. Now, we're talking 89,
90, 91,
92.
Okay.
So it's been a long time and all that. So, and I'm sure a lot has changed and all that, but I'm just, it's still, that whole thing just kind of really leaves a bad taste in my mouth. But like I said, I understand why you would do them, you know, for a fundraiser, and I'm kind of glad we did. And I had one hell of a good time because the bands that were being emulated were Bathory, Venom, Bathory, yeah. And when I tell you, you know, some more details on this, you're going to be even more impressed. But Bathory, Venom, and Immortal.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had tribute bands for those bands.
Well, it's just local Winnipeg musicians getting together and throwing together a set and all that. Basically, what it came down to for the Bathory tribute, it was members of the local death metal band Cause of Death.
Oh, nice. I mean, okay.
Yeah, guess what they're heavily influenced by, which band, obviously, and all that. But, yeah, these kids, okay, are amazing musicians. I'm going to have them on when they get something. And they're young. When I say kids, like, they're in their late teens. You know, I'm surprised they were able to actually play inside this nightclub. Okay. Oh,
wow. Yeah.
And to see, I have to admit, to see this young, the generation, you know, playing like stuff from the first Bathory album in 1984. Like, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. this is absolutely
fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. The Venom tribute band. And this is what really hit the old ticker. The Venom tribute band was our good buddies in Zombie Assault, which, of course, that's our good buddy Corey Thomas from Ninja Cat Productions and all that. He's the drummer of Zombie Assault, and they just went up there and just did a whole mess of just old Bathory or old Venom tunes. And, of course, our longtime listeners know that Venom is the band that, you know, got me into metal full time. So to see my personal friends playing like a set of old Venom, like, oh my God. Oh.
That's killer.
It was. And the headliner, just to keep the mystique, since it was an Immortal tribute and they had all the face paint and all that, and I'm sure most of the people in the audience would recognize who exactly was playing what, but I'm gonna kayfabe here. I'm gonna keep the mystique and say just some Winnipeg musicians, you know, they got all dolled up and went on there and did a set of Immortal. So I want to take the time and thank everyone for coming out and having a good time and supporting this year's Manitoba Metal Fest. It's going to be absolutely fantastic.
That's awesome, man. I was going to ask if they went the full nine yards and wore the makeup.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because that's what makes a tribute band. Like, when they, you know, it's one thing to play an entire set of, like, a songs of a band, but when you go out and really try to look, I mean, and be accurate about it, like, mm-hmm. that's what, like, helps you just kind of immerse, and it's just fun at that point, you know?
For sure. One of the things that is going to make the Manitoba Metal Fest so kick-ass is Gatecreeper is coming up to headline the opening night. Of course, Manitoba Metal Fest will be on the weekend of April 17th to the 19th. I believe, trust me, I'm going to be getting into a lot of promotion on this show. But with Gatecreeper, I picked up, speaking of record shopping and all that, I picked up a copy of their 7-inch single, Sweltering Madness, going back to 2017 on Closed Casket Activities. Really cool label. And of course, Gatecreeper kicks some big ass. Let's get into some tunes here, but before we do that, some cool records across my desk. Another wicked 7-inch single, courtesy of Gates of Hell Records. The debut recordings of traditional metalist Orphan Devil. They're Victims of the Night. Good stuff. Great stuff. I think I'm going to start, like, you have prog metal, okay?
Yes.
Like, is, when you have a traditional metal band, you know, those metal bands from today, like a Cauldron, like a Havoc, and all that, that are influenced by the 80s sound, the new wave of British heavy metal and all that, they're more a traditional metal band. How come the expression trad metal never made it like prog metal did, you know?
We need to do that.
So yeah, the trad metalers, Orphan Devil. It came across my desk. Good stuff. Normally Finland is known more for its brutal death and all that. But I was gonna say I was digging that. Speaking of brutal death, available April 13th, Unspeakable Acts Records is dropping the new record from Cemetery Filth. Their latest, that record, Dominion, came across my desk, and I was cranking it this morning, making sure that the neighbors got a good healthy dose of Cemetery Filth themselves. So on that record is available, make sure to grab a copy. But right now, we're going to get into a little taste of the Manitoba Metal Fest with some Gate Creeper. It's a Sweltering Madness. We'll be right back. In any way, shape, or form, local, international, signed, unsigned, one of my favorite bands is Winnipeg Deathsters' Zombie Assault. That is Worst Case Scenario from their album Video Nasty. And of course, if you are a longtime horror film fanatic, much like the guys in Zombie Assault are, you will know what exactly the Video Nasties are. And of course, just go and you check out their that album, and there's just so many references to old school horror and all that, because they're just totally dedicated and right into it. I think maybe come next Halloween we should sit down with those boys and get all the whys and wherefores and everything to do, you know, with horror and metal and all that. For sure, for sure. As you will recall, last week we had Joel Grind from Toxic Holocaust on. Yep. They came through town supporting the mighty Soulfly. Now, we had none other than Mr. Max Cavalera on the show twice before. Once in person, once over the phone, and had the good fortune once again to catch up with Mr. Cavalera live and in person. Normally, we don't really, you know, we kind of like to keep things kind of kayfabe here. We don't really talk about the people that help us out behind the scenes very much. All the PR, all the tour managers and all that, there's a reason they all kind of stay behind the scenes and they don't really want that much attention drawn to them. I'm going to have no problem saying hello and horns up to Gloria Cavalera, because she's been in the press, you know, everyone. Oh, yeah. You know, yeah, if you are a really strong follower of Max Cavalera, you will know, you know, Gloria, that's his wife and manager S extraordinaire. So it was, you know, as great as it was sitting down and hanging and talking to Max, I was just as stoked to see Gloria again. She's a fantastic lady, really easy to work with, and did everything that she could to accommodate Radioactive Metal with this kick-ass interview with her awesome husband, Mr. Max Cavalera from the mighty Soulfly. One of the ways I always like to start off my interviews with an artist like yourself that's been around, you've done it all, you've seen it all. When you see the word legendary, the legendary Max Cavalera, the legendary Soulfly, what's your initial thought and reaction to that?
It's exciting, you know. It's cool. It's like, you know, you're being how I say the best way to put this, like a stamp of approval by your fans and. Because they know the history, you know. Mm-hmm. We've been doing this for a long time, and we've been through a lot. And a lot of them been through all this together with me, you know, all the ups and downs. Mm-hmm. So I think when they say that, I think they meant well, you know. And it's highly appreciated of me. I appreciate that, you know. It's It's a very, I humbly appreciate because I'm not a big headed asshole.
Right. That's, know, I was waiting for that.
I try to be down to earth kind of guy. You know, that's just how I am. That's my personality. You know, I try to be good friends with everybody and all the bands. And but yeah, it's nice to hear that from especially from the fans.
No doubt, no doubt. You're on tour now, crossing Canada, and which I always, I got to give you extra points for, originally from hailing from such a warm climate, and you want to cross Canada in the wintertime, like, wow. You know, good on you. Good on you. You're still touring the Rituals album.
Yeah.
Is there still some steam left in that record to tour?
Yeah, well, what I think is cool that we did on this tour is we actually we grabbed the set list and totally turned it around on his head. So we're opening with Eye for an Eye, which we haven't done in 20 years.
Holy jeez.
So it's total surprise from the gate. And towards the and then as the show moves, we start playing some more stuff from Ritual. We're up to 5 songs now. We're hoping to get some more as the tour goes by. I feel it's a very, very strong record. I think it's that connected to a lot of people. It was a really very powerful Soulfly record done in the right time. And it just feels great when you mix that with classics like Prophecy and Primitive and Fire and Blood, Fire, War, Hate. It's a nice set. You know, we're playing right now is about an hour and a half. We have it's a pretty complete Soulfly show. The only thing missing is the drum jam. We haven't done that in a while. We kind of retired that. But there's the Birimbau, there's Tribe, there's the Groove Tribal Jams. There's a fantastic guitar solo of Mark Rizzo that he puts in the middle of the set. And then there's all the stuff we play from mostly of our records together with Ritual.
Right on. What about a new record? Is that going through your head at all? Are you writing any new material? Or
I'm inspired right now, like you know, to make a new record for sure, because I think touring inspires creation, you know, which is great because this is what we do this for, you know.
Right.
And when you come to Canada like this in the winter and every show is sold out and the reception is just amazing, you know, and you feel the power of the music, you feel the passion of the fans. It's very inspiring. So I don't like to ride on the road, so I don't have my stuff set up, but when I get home I'll put all that energy into the writing, so you know, we can hopefully in the next record next year. For sure.
Okay.
Yeah, not this year. This year won't come out, but next year.
And that will be record number 12?
Yeah.
Okay, now that got me thinking, like, holy jeez, I remember when the first Soulfly record dropped and all that. Did you think back then, okay, like, this is going to be a 12-album band?
No.
Or, no?
You never think in those terms. It's a couple of things you don't think about, like, you don't think about that, and you never think you're making a classic album, you know, like I never did on all the records I created, you know, including the Sepultura stuff. Yeah, I never felt like we were doing something classic. It just felt like we were just making a record, you know, just for the passion of it, you know. We just love the metal, and
if it takes off, bonus.
It's influenced so many people. It's great, you know. I love it. You know, a lot of people really loves the first Soulfly record a lot. It's very regarded as a lot of people's favorite, some of the favorite stuff I did. It was definitely the most difficult record I ever been part of it to create. It was very difficult, you know, but it was worth it. You know, I think that kind of, it's not supposed to be easy anyway. I mean, if it was easy, like, you know,
then everyone would do it.
Everybody would do it. And kind of like takes away the magic of it, you know. So it is hard, you know. It was hard to make that record, but within time, I think Yeah, and I never thought we'd be doing record 12. That's crazy. But awesome at the same time, you know.
For sure.
I look at my discography. It's a bit like... I feel like it's completely different kind of music, but it's a bit... Hopefully it would be something like Frank Sinatra or one of those guys that had like, or Elvis Presley, you know, that 50 records or some by the time I'm done, you know. Mm-hmm. Hopefully,
you're on your way.
I'm in a good pace.
yeah. It seems like you're every other year sometimes, or like every 2 years. There was a 3 year.
I tell you, one thing I love to stay busy and work. It's like one thing that I absolutely love it. Like, on tour, I love being on the tour. I love being on the road, and then when I'm not on the road writing, I love writing, and I love the studio. So it's like when you're that, passionate and connected through the music like that,
right?
It shows, you know. And I really, truly like don't know what to do after I go home sometimes, and I have like a 2 month off.
Right.
It kind of drives me crazy. It's like, I got to do something, you know. Right. This is a waste of time. What am I doing wasting 2 months of my life, you know? Should be doing something. But I'm learning to slow down.
Right.
And take the time, you know. So that's why, you know, definitely not a Soulfly record this year. I'll probably start writing and we'll get it sometime next year.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. I noticed that, and I don't know why I didn't notice this years ago, but it seems like every one of your records kind of has it's one word titles. Was that a plan from the start, or was that just a happy accident and you decided to run with it?
I'm attracted to one word record. I like that better. You know, I think it's more powerful. I've been around involving some records that had more than one, like Nail Bomb, Proud to Commit Commercial Suicide. It was a long name, but I like one word. I think it's stronger. Like, if you have something like Primitive, Prophecy, Ritual, to me it feels more like in your face, you know, more like just I kind of like it better, you know. And especially if when I enter the studio, if I had the name already with me, which is nice, you know. That was the case of Roots. I already had the name before we entered the studio.
Okay.
And it was a little bit the case on Ritual. You know, I had already the name in my mind of the one that you call it, the record Ritual, before you enter the studio.
Okay.
That's kind of nice. It's like an advantage. You kind of know where the record is going, so you just shaped around that word. You know, you create a world with that word in mind, you know. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. Just one little thing, things can snowball from that. That's
Ritual to me was really cool because I was really playing with the idea of metal being very ritualistic in many aspects, from the way we listen to the music to the way we go see a show. There's all these rituals that are part of metal, you know, like that I don't really see on any other music. You know, metal show is very unique if you think about it. There's some things that only happen in metal shows, you know, the crazy circle pits and stage diving, slam dancing, and all that, together with the just the passion, the adoration, and the loud noises and the feeling that the music gives. And then I'll speak also how people listen to music. I'm from the old school of vinyl and CDs and reading the lyrics, spend time with the material, you know. I had to get used to the new way with the internet and stuff. I still do it, you know, Spotify and all that, but my preferred method of listening to music is probably vinyl.
Me too, still, yeah. Definitely. I don't know why I didn't know this when it was first announced, but as I was doing my research for this interview, like, Sepultura has a spot in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Hey, what what, share with my listeners maybe the whys and wherefores and the reasons behind that. What exactly is it?
Kind of came out of nowhere. Like, they contacted Gloria regarding if we have something very special. They were creating a special place there called, it was like a heavy metal section, and they say they were gonna have stuff from Dimebag and Eddie Van Halen and Rob Halford, and does she have something extremely unique, you know, and valuable, and just happened that my mother saved the very first book I wrote the name Sepultura on. It was like a lyric book.
Oh, okay.
And had all the first lyrics, some of it even in Portuguese.
Wow.
That was before we even turned to English. And it was only me, my brother, and a third guy. And it had like a skull designing, and they loved it, you know. So we sent it to them, and they went nuts. So they displayed that. It's there in Cleveland, you know, in Ohio. And so it's cool to be part of stuff like that. They had also one of my guitars at the Metropolitan Museum in New York in October.
Oh.
It was like an exhibition on rock and roll instruments, going all the way back from Jerry Lee Lewis and Chuck Berry and you know, all the way to now. And one of my BC Rich survived the war. It's wounded, it's broken in like a bunch of pieces and parts scratched up, but it survived. So they loved that too. So that we were put on display. You know, that was cool. That was a big deal, because it was like together with like Beatles and Clash and Rolling Stones and all these big names. You know, especially for a guy that's kind of, I'm an anti-guitar hero guy, because I play four strings, don't give a shit. You know. I'm the complete opposite of a guitar guy, you know. So to have the guitar there is amazing. I don't know how that even happened.
Right.
Something wrong with the world.
Right on. That's cool. I'm going to let you get on with your evening here, but there was just something I wanted to share with you. You've been on the show a couple of times. We've done one on the bus, and we've done a phoner in the past. And I remember it was arranged through the PR to do it in the middle of the work day. And it's like, okay, I need to find a quiet place. Okay, my office is too noisy, people coming in and out and all that. I ended up finding like an empty broom closet and all that. So we had this conversation as I'm trying to, you know, in this dark broom closet. It's like, okay, that was definitely a unique experience.
The things you do for metal.
That's right. That's it exactly. That's it exactly.
It's amazing, man. It's cool. I love that kind of stuff. You know, it's like you gotta do. I try to pass that message to young kids, because a lot of kids come and ask me like, what I need to do to become like you, man? You know, and all this, and I always try to. The thing I try to get through is actually like, you gotta sacrifice, man. You really have to do stuff that other people don't want to do, or are uncomfortable of doing, or, you know, I did shit like that to get Sepultura signed. I wore a suit and tie and flew as a Pan Am employee with a Pan Am, you know, old Pan Am airline tag, and my hair pulled up, you know. All this shit counts, man, you know, in the end of the day. Little by little, all those layers is what gets you to where we are right now, you know. So I try to explain that to young kids out there. Hopefully as some kind of inspiration for them, you know, to believe in it can be done, you know. I come from a very unusual, unique place in Brazil. The odds of making it was like very, 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 very long. It's like almost impossible, you know. So, and we made it, man, you know. So it's cool. It's like very, very inspiring story. But, you know, every time I have a chance to give some thoughts of things to inspire people, it's always cool, you know. But you have to sacrifice, for sure.
If you're not tuned in to The Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Hey guys, it's The Stallion, and when I'm contemplating suicide, I throw on The Shining Wizards because nothing makes me feel better than knowing I'm not one of these four grown adults, virgin fucking marks, discussing a fake wrestling product.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Hi, I'm Liberace. For all my friends in Canada, KTEL has put together this exciting album of some of my favorite performances.
Liberace in Concert, a classic collector's album.
You'll hear everything from Boogie Woogie. Or maybe you'd like to sing along on this one. Are you singing? You might even hear classics like Chopin's Nocturne, the beautiful theme from Godfather, and one of my favorites, the Piano Roll Blues.
Get Liberace in Concert, 20 of his greatest performances, $5.99. Tape, $6.99.
I hope you'll get my album from KTEL. I think it'll give you a lot of pleasure. It really is my favorite.
There are only three good things you need in life. Sex, beer, and pure rock.
There's just a multitude, just so many, like the back catalog, okay, of Mr. Cavalera was just so exhaustive, so extensive. It's just so hard to try to decide on what to play. And I know that probably the vast majority, you know, of the beautiful motherfuckers tuning in to this show, if I was to take a survey and say, which Max Cavalera stuff would you like to hear most? I am sure old school Sepultura would probably be what they would want to hear. So I blew off the dust, going way back to Sepultura's debut full length or Morbid Visions, and that was the title track. This goes back, you know, before Roadrunner, when they were basically teenagers. you know, just making those first couple recordings, and those were absolutely classics. As well as that, when you go back to those days, that whole Brazilian thrash death scene, that Cogumelo Records were scooping up a lot of those bands. Sepultura were definitely the kings of that whole scene. probably band number two would have been Sarcophago, and that is the first song, A Satanic Lust, from their INRI record. I remember those days, like the whole Brazilian death thrash scene. It was new, it was a fresh scene. It's just all these great bands were coming out left and right. The other labels were sniffing around looking for talent. A lot of really cool stuff came out of there. And congratulations and horns up to Sepultura and to Mr. Cavalera for withstanding the test of time.
Oh, heck yeah.
You know, like there's just it's just been so many years, and you know, like you said in that interview, they were young, they didn't know how long this was going to last for. And you might think, okay, the man has earned his spot. Like he said, as we spoke about in the interview, there they kind of have their own little place in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Heck yeah,
They've earned it. They've earned everything and all the success that they have. So if Mr. Cavalera, you know, maybe has a little bit of a head, you know, a little bit of an ego, you might be able to, you know, let it go. Nothing like that. Nothing like that at all. This man was absolutely amazing. Just to pull back the curtain a little bit more, when I knocked on the tour bus, okay, because Gloria had said, meet me on the tour bus at this time, and we'll get you set up. I knocked on the door. She opened the door. Oh, hello. Come on in. Great. Sorry, Max had to step out. He had to do a couple errands. Okay. But he'll be back soon, and he's looking forward to talking to you, and blah, blah, blah. And okay, great. And I got to thinking, okay, these are just piddly errands. They had to run to Walmart for something.
That's just great.
He could have said to Corey or myself or to Dustin, hey, get one of your guys. I need something. Go. You know, didn't do it. Took it upon himself to do this piddly little errand and all that, because that's just the amazing man that Mr. Cavalera is. So I was so impressed. So once again, thank you to the Cavalera family for everything, for taking the time out once again, for joining Radioactive Metal. And if you thought his reaction to the story that I told him about doing the interview in the broom closet, if you thought that was great, dude, after I stopped pressing record, we talked about it some more, and just that kind of snowballed from just metal itself. When he talks, when Mr. Cavalera talks about metal, his eyes light up. He gets a smile on his face. This guy, after all these years, is still legit. And there was nothing recording. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to play the role. He is the role. Like he is definitely the real deal, for sure.
He's a good dude, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like once that Chaos AD record came out, he really found his groove on that record and kind of his niche, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, I really think that's where he developed the sound, and that's the sound that he took forward to Soulfly. And then, you know, lately he's just been trying everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just hit a point where, what would happen if I did a grindcore record, you know? Like.
He could do it, and he listens to enough of the modern stuff that he could probably call up any of the modern grindcore bands and say, hey guys, I want to do what you do. Let's sit down and let's hammer something out. And the other artists would trip over each other to help him out.
Yeah,
I could totally see him doing that. Someday, hopefully, we will be talking, you know, much like we have on Mr. Cavalera, we will be talking the same way about tonight's Indie Spotlight.
We're always on the lookout for fresh new talent. Check out this indie spotlight.
I got a little surprise for you, dude.
Oh, is it Easter?
Yeah. Tonight's indie spotlight is coming from your neck of the woods. Now, you're in South Carolina.
I am.
Okay, well, Crusade with a V, K-R-V-S-A-D-E, hail from North Carolina, Charlotte, I believe.
That makes sense, because Charlotte is the closest big city to go see a concert at.
And, of course, it's more than apropos that we should have a band from Charlotte on this episode that we are recording on none other than Ric Flair's birthday.
Woo!
Because Charlotte, of course, was Flair country. That is where he named his daughter Charlotte Flair, Charlotte Fleer, after the city and all that. As a matter of fact, they call the old 10 pounds of gold the old NWA title from back, you know, all through the 70s and 80s. They call that title to this day. The NWA still refers to it as Sweet Charlotte.
Awesome.
But let's not mark out about the wrestling here a little too much. Let's mark out over the awesomeness that is Crusade. Let's go with the title track from their latest indie release. This is Judgment Day. www.facebook.com/crusadeofficial, and of course the crusade with a V and not a U, because they're Cavalt. They're Cavalt. As well, not only are they Cavalt, they are one kick-ass band, as you just heard. So check them out on all of the usual stuff as well. Great stuff. Hoping for big things for them, because there's just like nothing coming out of the Carolinas in terms of heavy music, I'm sorry to say. So hopefully, yeah,
I know, I live
hopefully they'll put that territory on the map. That's it, dude. That's it. Fortunately, like I said, the ladies were unable to join us this week, but hey, we got through it without them, and hopefully they will be able, all four of us, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, we'll be back and ready to rock next week. How can people get a hold of us?
On the internet. So, they can go to facebook.com/radioactivemetal, or is it just Rad Metal? I think it's Rad Metal. But I was thinking something. When you gave that last address, you're like facebook.com/. And I was thinking, if you are slash, your facebook.com address is facebook.com//.
That's like, right.
That's got to mess with people's heads, man.
Oh, especially his.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. //. But it's, I mean, you know, it's like we're watching like a Friday the 13th movie. //. You know? But so,
I know what I'm watching tonight.
So facebook.com/radioactivemetal, or no, Rad Metal. Crap. You think by now I'd be able to handle it. Facebook and Twitter at RadMetal666. Check us out, radioactivemetal.org. That's where all the episodes of this podcast are. You can get them there after they air on PureRockRadio.net on Thursday nights.
Mm-hmm.
So we're live, quote unquote, there. And then, of course, we are proud to be a member of the Shining Wizards Network. Tony of the Shining Wizards is probably cracking up listening to this episode right now, because he loves it when you say true Cavalt. And so you said Cavalt so many times for the other one there. Yeah. They're going to be like all over it. So he's going to be talking about it. So check out Wrestling Podcast, Lifestyle Podcast, Rock and Roll Podcast, Metal Podcast. Yeah. That's what we
all
do here.
Sorts of really cool stuff.
Of course. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, in terms of correspondence and all that, I'm sure Max, Mr. Cavalera himself, remembers the Pen Bangers days, remembers the correspondence in the back of Metal Maniacs, when back in the day we used to contact and communicate with one another through the old snail mail. Right. And I, you know, being an old school rocker myself, wouldn't mind going back to that. And if you are a like-minded individual as well, and you want to talk to your cool Uncle Snowy through the old school manners, by all means, get a hold of us through social medias, get my snail mail address, and we'll hook it up that way. I'm still missing those days.
I think we should take it one step further. Uh-oh. And have a carrier pigeon option. And
yeah,
a Pony Express option.
There we are. There we are. As long as the Lone Ranger is riding that pony, man, for sure.
Saddle up, Tonto. Here we go.
Yeah.
Or the Lone Rangers.
Yeah. Well, they aren't exactly lone.
I'm going to look for them when I'm in L.A.
Yes, please. Please do. Please do.
Where Are They Now episode of Radioactive Metal.
Yeah. To get us on out of here, to thank all of the good folks that came out to support the Manitoba Metal Fest, let's go out on some classic Immortal. How about the title track from their Battles in the North album. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been a Maximum Rock and Roll episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
This is Aaron.
Signing off.
Change on the radio.